Okay, everybody, so today's daf is daf Kuf Samach Dalid. We're starting Kuf Samach Gimel Amud Beis, the final two lines. But before we begin, I just wanted to go and bring something to your attention, which was brought to my attention by my Chavrusa Judah Wassner, here from the West Side. If you turn back to Kuf Samach Gimel Amud Aleph, you recall yesterday we talked about if you have Lech Lecha or Loch Loch, then you have a problem with potential with the Elyon of the Lamed and the Tachton of the Chof Soifas, the end of Chof, causing potential problems, and that's why you had to have four Aviren or three Aviren in between the two lines, as you recall. So Judah pointed out to me that if you look at the Rishbam, Kigoy Lech Lecha Ze Al Gabe Ze, go down into that Rishbam about six lines, you'll see the line begins Ze Betachtona. Tzorich, there's a lange chav. Right beneath it on the next line, there is a lamed. And the lange chav and the lamed seem to be touching one another, or at least very, very close. And then the loch of the line underneath, the chav seems to be touching at least very close to the lamed. And so therefore, it would appear that the publishers, the printers of this edition wanted to dramatize what the Gemara is saying. You shouldn't think, well, maybe, no. You could have write three lines in a row, Chof touching the Lamed, Chof touching the Lamed, and that was the concern of the having the Arba Virin. Note, in older editions of the Talmud, this doesn't appear, because they have the Chof earlier and the Lamed later, or the Lamed early and the Chof later, and they did it like the next man, the Amr Bavo, that says you can do it in Shloisha Virin, it doesn't have to be four Aviren, because just as long as you adjust a little bit by putting the line earlier, line later, then you'll see it's not an issue. Are you having difficulty finding it? You're definitely not going to find it down there because it's higher up. It's right over here. See, three lines in a row, Lamed and Chofs. Bill, that's why I wanted to wait until you sat down instead of you still taking coffee.
All right. Okay. See how Lecha and Elio, yeah, the Chaf of there and the Lamed of Elio. Right.
It's three lines in a row. Chaf, Lamed, Chaf, Lamed. See? One touches the other. So that just dramatizes so beautifully, so it exemplifies what the Gemara was telling us. You need the four Avir or the three Avir, because of those concerns. Okay, on to today's daf. Gufa. Kuf Samach Gimel Amud Beis, the final two lines. Amr Rav. More just quoting a memra that we had from Rav on the bottom of the Umbud Aleph. You'll recall we had a machloikis where the Rav said it, or where the Shmuel said it. But what did he say? Shtar haba hu v'edav ala machak is kosher. Normally, of course, we think of a standard document where it's, everything is written, both the text and the chasimais, on a regular, normal piece of parchment, cloth, duchsustus, niyar, paper, whatever people were used to write with in the good old days. Okay, what happens if you have the text on a lamoshel al hamechak, or you're going to have edim al haniyar, meaning if they're not going to be consistent, that leads you to potential problems of fraud and deception. So we're going to talk more about that shortly on the Amud Aleph, how that works. What Rav says is, as long as the entire piece of paper, I'm calling it paper, I know it really should be parchment or cloth, call it paper to make life easy, as long as the paper, both from the top and the bottom, is all consistent, it doesn't have to be fresh paper, it's all recycled paper, everything is mochuk, that's also good, because as long as everything is consistent on the same, both the text and the edus, that's fine. So Frank Tehimar, Vim Toimar, now you're going to challenge me and say, no, that's a problem. Why? Because moichik v'choizer u'moichik. If you have a regular document on a regular piece of paper where everything is on fresh piece of paper, then you have to worry about a machika. Somebody's going to do some erasing and putting in new words and new terms, and that's a big, big problem. However, if everything is on the machak, there's nothing to worry about because everything has been previously erased. Mm-hmm. So we're starting as if it was a fresh piece of paper. Says Imam, no. Aren't you concerned that if everything was previously erased and now you wrote for the second time on this piece of paper, you know what might happen? you write out a whole document, you have it signed by your agent, everything looks like it's fine and good, and then the malve or the lokeach or whoever owns the document is going to take it home, and he's going to have a good idea. Be careful it shouldn't spill because it's not flat on the bottom. Okay, you'll see, right? Anyway, so says the Gemara, not that one, the other place. Yeah. Okay, so good, so good. So says the Gemara, you know what the person might do if he is not scrupulous? What he might do is go and erase the upper portion of the document and leave the edim down below, and the top portion of the document. The Moshel says that Reuven owes Shimon $1 million. It's all on the mechak. It's all on erased paper. And you know what he might do? He might erase it again, and instead of Reuven owing $1 million to Shimon, he's going to make a switch that Shimon owes $1 million to Reuven. And nobody will know the difference, because it's mochak on top, mochak on the bottom, and it looks like it was all, quote-unquote, a fresh document on paper that was previously nimchak.
So there's no different way to detect the mochak from a shnei or a shlishis.
What you are already doing is you're answering the Gemara's test.
Oh, I see.
But you're allowed to ask the kasha. Right? We'll never get to the test if we don't ask the kasha. So the Gemara says, wouldn't that lend itself to potential problems, deception, and fraud? Ever the Gemara buries teretz, and the doima nimchak pam achas, le nimchak shtei pam. Is that what you had in mind? Yes. And therefore, if in fact you started off a document which is totally erased from top to bottom, and now you made a switch or a change and erased it further at the top, anybody that has any understanding of these things will see quickly, oh, this is erased twice and this is erased once. I know why it was erased twice. Because after the Adam signed the document, then whoever owned the document made a switch and made a second erasure at the top. Okay, that makes a lot of sense. So, Freyti Marvaleichish, I have another thing to be concerned about. You're telling me that who the aid of ala mechak is kosher. Freitim of aleichus dil meshodi diyusa amokim edim meikara. Meaning, let's say he takes a brand new, fresh piece of paper, and where the edim are supposed to sign on the bottom, he accidentally or purposely pours out ink on the bottom of this piece of paper. Oy vavoy vavoy, there's ink there. No problem. I have now whiteout or erasure or an eraser, and I'm just going to erase all of that bottom part. So therefore, the bottom part has now been erased. The top part, however, is fine. Umochikle, and then he's going to be mochik the entire piece of paper from top to bottom, so that therefore everything is now, quote unquote, clean. It's all erased. Now what happens? We write out the text at the top. We're going to have the Adam sign on the bottom. And now if subsequent to that, meaning after the closing or after the loan, then the Baal HaShtar will take the Shtar home. And now he's going to go and do monkey business at the top of the Shtar. If he's going to do a further mechik at the top, now you can have a situation where both the top, the text, and the chasimas eidim are both going to be twice, and therefore you won't be able to tell the difference between this and that. Before, the Gemara said, but now we're going to have a situation that everything is now a nimchak shtei pa'am. Why? Because when the eidim signed, they were already signing on the second time, right? Because he had poured out the ink, we had erased it. Now he erased the entire document, even though there was nothing to erase. Maybe he wrote in a bunch of gibberish from the top to the bottom in terms of his political views or his sports views, and then he erased the whole thing. So now the bottom part has been nimchik twice. The top part has only been nimchik one time. They'll write out a full text with the edim and the ganze business, and now what happens is, subsequently, somebody's going to, using Ariel's term of yesterday, tamper with the verbiage of the top text. He's going to do some bachikos, and now you won't be able to tell the difference, because now the top as well as the bottom will be nimchak shtei pa'amim. Oy, oy, oy. So don't we have a problem? And yet Rav said, no, it's kosher, nothing to worry about.
Make a provision, says the first one is erased, not erased, the second part is erased.
I'm not following what you're saying.
the aiding said the top is not erased. We're only erased where we sign.
Okay, but here we're talking about both parts are erased. In other words, when they there was a clean piece of paper, ink spilled out.
Erased the bottom.
Erased the bottom, just the
so
bottom.
The top is clean.
So far. Now what happens is he takes that same piece of paper. That's not nice. Yar on top, clean, and the bottom is this erasure. You know what? He writes on it, Trump wins, Trump will win, Trump didn't win. It was a machlokes in Georgia, whether he won or didn't win. That second time around, he did. And then, well, that's really enough about Trump. Let's go now, right? The Knicks are better than the Yankees, and the Yankees are better than the Mets. And he fills up the whole thing with all this very important information. And then after that, he does machika, he erases everything from top to bottom. So now what happens now? The top has only been erased once. The bottom, where the Edomar, has been erased twice. Now we come in front of the scribe. We're in the closing room. We have the sofer there, maybe a bezin there. And we write out a brand new document from top to bottom. Yes, it's all erased, but it's all erased. And the Rav said, Shtar huvi Edomar machak is kosher. No problem. So we write out the text at the top. Reuven owes Shimon $1 million. He has to pay on this and this date, and these are the conditions, and how many installments, and the time factor, whatever. 5-10 lines of text. We're done, and now you have the two Edom signing below. Looks great. Rav says, Shtar huvi Edom machak is kosher. Fine. Frey Timura, what happens now? The Baal Hashtar takes that Shtar home, and he now does all types of tampering with the text at the top, changing Reuven owes Shimon. Now it's Shimon owes Reuven, and after the ink dries, so to speak, you cannot tell the difference because now the top part has been done twice, and the bottom part has been done twice. So, Frey Timura, why don't we have a problem? Before we said maskim, but now here we have a finished tar where it's nimchek on the top twice. And the Edom on the Nimchak twice. So it looks like everything is kusha v'yusha. But really it isn't. So that's the Gemara's kasha. Quickly, starting on the second line. V'lechish, why aren't you concerned? Let's be choishish. Initially we're going to have a whole blotch of ink on the bottom. What does he do? He's going to go and moichik it, to remove it. And then a mochik lay is going to go be moichik the entire shtar from top to bottom. Now it's all clean, beautiful, all mochik. We write out a full shtar on it. And now after he takes the shtar home, the chihoder mochik lay lihai, when eventually this bad guy does a mochik of the text on the top, you won't be able to tell the difference because how will they eat and eat it? They're going to stay above. Both the top will have been done twice, the bottom will have been done twice, and everybody will think it's kosher view. Sure, but it's not. It's a shtar which is fraud. Rav that holds who the Edom Lechak are talking about Edom, not that they don't just go and sign blindly, but rather when they go and sign, they're going to investigate and inspect the shtar. If you look at the Rishbam, which is parallel to our Gemara here, and then came Nimchak Bifneim, Vim Yiru Mokim Chasimosim, Mishuna Bimachika Mina Elyoin, Lo Yachtoimu. If they're going to be present when the ink spilled out, and when they made the Machika, and then they did the Machika of the entire Shtar, and they got to be there, says Rav. If you're allowing them to write and sign on the Machak, they got to be there to see from A to Z, from the beginning to end, how was this mechak, how did it come out? And if they see, two on the bottom, one on the top, I know that that could lead to potential monkey business, fraud, tampering, then they're going to say, get me out of here, I'm not signing on a document like that. So therefore, the Edom are smart enough, or they know the rules and regulations, don't sign on mechak unless you know the history of the Mechakos. Once, was it twice, on the top, on the bottom, etc. Okay. Frank Dimon Meisvei, Akasha on Rav. Who al Haniyar? When we say the word who, it doesn't mean a person, it means the text. Who al Haniyar? The text is on the yard, meaning clean, regular paper. On the bottom, there is a Mechika. You can see that things were erased, and the Edom signed on them. It's kosher. It's fine. What's the Pashat Esvara? Why is it fine? Because since the upper part of the document is nice and clean, fresh piece of paper, no mechika, if anybody decides to go make a mechika, it'll be recognizable, discernible immediately. So therefore, even though the Edom are signing the Mechak, I'm not worried about the Edom. The Edom are fine. They signed the Mechak. That's good. But the text on the Niyar, how does that work? Maybe after the closing is over, the person takes his document home. He sees that the top part is on a clean, fresh piece of paper. The bottom is erased but signed by the Edom. Oh, I have a good idea. He's going to go and be moichik the upper part of the text. He's going to put in whatever he wants. And then after the ink dries, so to speak, v'havlehu the Edom ala mechak. Now the top part will be nimchak, the bottom part will be nimchak. Rav says that's kusher. Shtar hapos abo hu the Edom mechak is kusher. So this leads itself rife potential deception, fraud, tampering, etc. How do you allow that? Says Imam, you have a very good point. The kasvi hachi, the Edom write when they are signing. They don't just sign their names, Reuven ben Yaakov, Shimon ben Shloima, or something. But they add the following magic words. Anachnu, we, Sahari the Edom, Chosamna al Machka, we signed on Machak, Ushtora Kosov al Niara, and the Shtar, the text, was written on Niar, which is in fact what happened, right? We signed Hu al Niara, the Edom al Machak. What's the benefit of this? The benefit is that if someone after it goes and is moichik the top, and now we find mechik on top and mechik on bottom. Mm-hmm. The Edom already said, oh no, the text is written on clean paper and not a mechak. So therefore you don't have to worry about these deceptive, fraudulent practices.
What if they erase that text? That's
next tomorrow.
Oh, okay.
Freik dimar, the kasvi heicha. Where do the Edom write those words? There are two possibilities, either on top or on bottom. If they're going to write it, write underneath their signatures, write underneath Shimon bin Shloima, Anachno, etc. Frey Timura, Gaizle. Since we're talking about a master of fraud and deception, he'll take a scissors and he'll cut off that last line. As long as the two Sheamus and the two Edom are there, Reuven bin Yaakov, Shimon bin Shloima, he sees the word Anachno, Sadi, Chasamna, he'll just cut that piece off. And now he'll be Moichit the top. We have a machik on the bottom, and Rav said, "Who v'ed a machak is kosher." So that cannot be the shot. Elamai iloi machik. Oh, right before the chasimois, they start off. Dunar moir v'rabaisai anachnu sahadis chasam al machka ushtar kasal miyan, and then they sign their names. Obviously, now you can't cut it out because then you'd only have a text without any chasimis. But what you can have is, since what is your concern that this fraud guy is going to go and be moichik the upper part of the shtar? Guess what? He'll be moichik that part as well. Eloi moichikle, Eloi, if it's the upper part, not it's right over the chasimis, he'll be moichik it, moichikle. So therefore, there's no eitza of this anachna chasmi. If it's going to be in the bottom, he'll cut it off. If it's right on top of the chasimis, just like he'll be moichik the top, he'll be moichik that line of text as well. So the Gemara comes up with a very interesting Heichatimtza, the Kasvi, Ben Sada Lisada, in between the line of Reuven Ben Yaakov, before Shimon Ben Shloima, we throw in Anachna Sadi Chasamna Al Machka Ushtora Kosov Al Niyora. So now you don't have to worry. You can't go be Moichik in between the Chasimus Edom, you can't cut between the Chasimus Edom. So that Uchoyra is a perfect Eitzah. It's kind of unusual, but it works. Let's see the safe of that very same price. Here it's in reverse. Hu al machak. The text is written on machak. Edom al niyor. Edom on the bottom. Kosher niyor, meaning brand new, fresh niyor. Now it's parcel. Now what's the reason why it's parcel? Because we're concerned that they're going to be moichik not just one time, they're going to be moichik a second time. Because anyway, the Edom are al haniyor. So instead of being moichik once, we moichik a second time. That's why it's possible. Frey Timura, am I possible? Hochanami, why don't we do the same thing? Have the Edom sign in between the two signatures, Reuven ben Yaakov and Shimon ben Shloima. Nichtubu achi, anachnu sahadu chasamna al niyora. We signed on fresh cloth, fresh paper on the bottom. Ushtar al machka, and the shtar is there on the top, on the mochik. And the choyra, it should work that way. You don't have to worry now that someone's going to go and say, oh, it's mochik on the bottom. The Edom already testified to the fact that it's mochik on the bottom. So Everything should work. Why is it possible? So Kibor Hashtanami, my Amris, are you going to go and answer me? Come on, that's not a kasha. Because Moichik v'choizer Moichik. What he's going to do is, he'll do a second Mechika, and you already explained to us, Amris ein edoymen nimchik pam achas, le nimchik shtei pa'omim, and so therefore you'll be able to clearly identify that the upper part is now a double Mechika, and the bottom part is a niyar, and you'll therefore realize that it's a fraud. But hani mili hecha dechasim misadi amachka. When do we say that svara that we said at the top? When you have that the upper part of the shtar is mochak twice, and the bottom part only once, or vice versa. The upper part is once, and the bottom part is twice. Since the Edom are signing on that mochka, which is different than the one above, because it's either one and two, or two and one, oh, then they recognize the fact that this is different than the upper one. If you're not doing a comparison between one mechak and two mechikas, but rather niyar and mechak, then you cannot really tell whether or not the upper portion was just erased once or erased twice. Because all I know is that the Edom signed on fresh piece of paper on the bottom. That the fact on the top was nimchik one time or two times, that's really not so discernible, because when you're doing something relative to the other, you can't really tell. One against two, you can say, hey, this is whiter, this is blacker, this is darker, this is lighter. But if this is niyar, which is fresh and fresh, and the top of it happens to be nimchik, the difference between nimchik once and nimchik twice is not easily recognizable. Therefore, ala niyara lo yedim, nochmo. Hani mili, when did we say the difference between pamachas and nimchik shtei pamim? Hani milech and chasim misadi amachko. When they sign on machak down below, and now you are comparing that to the text above, and then you're saying, no, that's not a one-time mechika, because I see this adia mechika, but the upper part looks much wider, or much darker, or whatever, than the one below. Then you really can't tell. Says Yimara, oh, but I'll tell you, I have another etzah. Let's go and take another fresh piece of paper. Let's go and mimoichik it from top to bottom. And now let's go and compare it to this piece of paper. That piece of paper, you only did one mechika. The piece of paper with the text and the chasimis ho'edim on the bottom. If you're telling me that we're choshish that somebody did a second mechika, so you'll be able to go and tell it. This is one against two, right? It's not against mechika against niar. It's mechika against mechika. That's really not a good etzah. You really can't compare from one piece of paper to another piece of paper. Now, of course, today you go and buy 300 or 500 pieces of paper in a cellophane
in a ream, a stack,
exactly, and they all exactly the same. However, here we're talking about real cloth or papyrus, whatever. And if you look at Rishbam says the reason why it's not doima machke d'ham megilta. About 5-6 lines above where we are. Ze'av ze'dak. This could be slightly thicker, and this could be slightly thinner. M'chak shel klaf av, in a nikkur kol kach. If it happens to be a thick piece of cloth, you can go and do a one or two or three mechikos. It may not be nikkur because there's still some thickness left to that original piece of cloth, the piece of paper. So therefore, you really cannot go and compare apples to oranges, one piece of Megillah to another piece of Megillah, because they might be different texture of the paper of the cloth. Frank, but I have another idea. What do we have? We have over here that you have on the top mechak, and you have on the bottom Edom signed on the niyar. And the concern is that maybe there won't be one mechak on the top, maybe they'll do a second mechik on the top. So you might have a good idea. What you said is you cannot compare mechak to niyar. You can compare mechak to mechak. This is two, this is one. There you can discern
the quality
and the difference, but not between mechak and niyar. So I have a good idea. Have this Megillah that has mechak on top, has niyar on the bottom, ulekabel chasimis yodah desahadi bebeitina, go into the bezin, let the bezin review those chasimis and say, yeah, perfect, nothing to worry about, these are wonderful edim, we know Rabbi Minyaka, we know Shem Ben Shloimeh, it's great, it's wonderful. after the Bezdin has certified, either in writing or orally, that these are good chasimas, v'limchik v'lidmi. Now we have a new idea. Now let's be moichik the mokim where the Edom signed. Do a full mechika. I'm not worried that I no longer have a record of the Edom signing because the Bezdin has already made a record and said, yeah, it's kusha v'yush, everything is fine. Now I have a mechika on the bottom. Now write some more text on the bottom and now compare the upper part to the lower part. Because no longer is it mechika against Niyar, now it's mechika against mechika. And we'll be able to see, is the upper part a double mechika or just a single mechika? Because you said on the same piece of paper, you can tell. If you're talking about on the same day, that's one thing. However, if you're talking about making mechika today and making mechika tomorrow, over time, by definition, the paper will shrivel a little bit or it'll be a little bit of a discoloration. You really can't compare it from one day to the next. So therefore, your eitzah of going and erasing after the shtar has been signed and sealed, now have to go and be mekayim the chasimas, erase all of the bottom, and now write some new print on that, you know, that's not the same day. You're talking about a day or two or a week later, whatever, that's already... It's a different story. There you can no longer compare mechak to mechak. Great Gemara, Pulishaya. So wait a day. In other words, if you're afraid that Nimcha ben Yoim is not the same Nimcha ben Shnei Yomim, so wait. We're afraid about Bezen Toyin that they won't know to go and wait, and they're going to go and see Nimcha on top and on bottom, and they won't be able to differentiate, and therefore this Eitzah of Lishaya doesn't work.
Also now, a question of years. If the mechika was done many years earlier,
yes, and then it's even more
so. I mean, the loan is a 5-year loan, and the guy did the mechika the night after the closing. 5 years later, and now it's due. And
exactly,
and you can't know when the mechika was done if it's fraud.
Very, very good. In fact, I thought what you were going to ask is similar to what you're asking. You're telling me that so let's go and wait a day. If we're going to wait a day, it's no longer going to be Ben Yoyma compared to Shnei Yom. Right. Now it's going to be 2 days compared to 3 days. And if you wait 2 days, it's going to be 3 days compared to 4 days.
You're never going to catch up.
Exactly.
No, maybe, no, but maybe one day
it stabilizes.
Otherwise, an arrow never hits the target.
Okay.
She knows paradise.
Anyway, this discussion between the Talmidei HaYeshiva here, the Chachmei HaTalmud, is in fact two Girsois in the Rishbah. If you look at the Rishbam starting Mishaya, Nishaya, Omre Bir Mechoshin Abezin Toyin, 8-9 lines from the bottom. For the Yedu Ladaka Kolchkach, Oyla Hashoyse Lahashir Shtar Apostle. The Bezin may not be the most astute Bezin in the world, and they won't know from the tactic so much to hold on to it, to be Mashir. Hilkach Paskul, the Milse Apostle, Koshtar Shalom Machak, Eid of Aryan. They said, you know, I don't want to get into these issues. One Bezin will understand better, one understand one. As long as it's mechak and niyar, forget about it. This the legar's going to shaya. Someone acquires the whole business, the last line. The garsi instead, not before we had Omer of Oishia, Eina Doimen Nimcha Ben Yom Nimcha Mashesham, but they acquires Rabbi Yerme Oimer, and Chashin Lebezin Toim, Vein Noisan Leiv, Lid Mois Vilimchoik, Makam Tiritz of Oishia, Tiritz of Yermikach. So we are merging the two Gemaras and taking out this line of space for the Shaya. The Rishbam doesn't explain really why. He just says this Ligarsi leaves it out. But if you look at the Toises all the way in the bottom, the final Toises, the last line, Lishaya Mandli Gorisle, that second gear set that Rishbam brought, Sober the Kamoikain, and the Doim Nimchik Ben Shnei Yomim, and Nimchik Ben Shlaisha. So therefore, you don't gain anything by waiting an extra day. 2 days against 3 days against 4. Obviously, the first gear so holds no. The once ink dries for 24 or 48 hours, by that time everything is different. So therefore, that's why you have the two gear so it's in the Gemara. And we continue on. We go back to the Mishnah. What did we learn in the Mishnah? We had Chanina ben Gamliel Einer. What he said was, one of the differences that we had between a get poshet and a get mekusher is get poshet, the Edom army toichai are on the bottom. Well, mekusher, the Edom are Me'achoyrev. Yeah, Me'achoyrev is exactly what that means, Me'achoyrev. But, said Rav Chanina ben Gamliel, no, You don't have to go and passel a makusha where the edim are signed on the bottom. You know why it's kosher?
Yes.
Even though you've stitched it up, you could go and cut through the stitches, unravel this ishtar, and now it becomes a poshet ishtar. You have chasimus on the bottom, and therefore it's okay.
In the back.
Okay, but it's not the question of the three and the two. The question over here is the quality or the location of the chasimus. By mekusher, the chasimus is supposed to be on the back of the folds, back of the shtar, perpendicular, parallel. Remember, we had a machloikis in the Gemara.
Right, justified or
fine. Here, however, we're talking about that they made a mistake. It was to get mekusher with folds on top, and they had chasimus on the bottom. Oy vavoy! If you have chasimus on the bottom, that's possible. Says Rav Chanina Maglia, it's not possible. You can convert a mekusher into a poshet. How can you convert it? By opening up the stitches. Now it becomes a poshet ishtar, and you have the chasimus on the bottom. Kusha v'yushet. That's Rav Chanina Maglia. Now, Rebbe is upset about this, and Heishev Rebbe did Rav Chanina Maglia. And he asked them the following
question. Rebbe was the father of Rav Chanina?
No.
I think Rav Chanina Maglia was the father of Rebbe.
I don't know if they were related at all. Could be yes, could be not. But Rebbe is addressing the Rav Chanina ben Gamliel of our Mishnah and saying, how can you say that? Open up the stitches and go and see that it's a poshet. There's a major difference between a poshet and a makusha. And what is that? V'aloi ein edoim is manishozeh, is manishozeh. Poshet melech shana, moin leishana. Shtayim, moin leishtayim. Makusha melech shana, moin leishtayim. Shtayim, moin leloi gimel. What is this all about? When we learned our Mishnah, we learned the Gemara initially, we had two or three chilukim between Poshet and Mekusha. Number one, Poshet Ishtar, Mekusha, you gotta make folds. That's why it's called Mekusha. That was chilik number one. Chilik number two, the number of Edom. Here you have Poshet, two Edom, Mekusha, you have to have three Edom. Number three, what is the location of the signatures? By Poshet, it's on the bottom, Mekusha, it's on the back of the folds, perpendicular, right size, whatever, like we had. Now the Gemara tells us that there was another difference. Remember, the reason for all of these differences is not just that the Sofrim should have more headaches, but rather to extend the time during which the Kohen will hopefully finally become not so hot-headed, but rather cooler heads will prevail, and says, oi, another difference, another halacha. I am going nuts, I'm going crazy, da, 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 da. Let's forget about it, I take my wife back, and the whole thing, it just doesn't pay. So that's why we added chumrah upon chumrah, difference upon difference. So what is the chumrah over here? What they did is, that of course a regular, normal get poshut, instead of writing like, we write tafshin pei hei, or l'havdil umas ha'olam 2024, they would go and write to the Malchus of the time, and of course we have that in the beginning of Masechtas Rosh Hashanah, right? That talks about Rosh Hashanah, when there's a new Melech, when you count year one, year two, year three. Anyway, bottom line is we have now a get poshet, Molech, any Melech that became the new king, in during that first year of his kingship, they wrote, first year of King Louis, first year of King Henry, or whatever it was. Once we're in the second year, they would say this is now the second year of King Louis, or the second year of King Henry. However, when it comes to Shtar Mekusher, they used to go and add one more year. So if it was King Louis' first year, they wrote it's already the second year of King Louis. And if it was the second year, then they wrote it's the third year. They would always be Moisef an additional year. Now we'll see in the Gemara shortly, this is not something that the Chum dreamed up, but this was in fact the Minhag in certain Umais among certain nations. And the reason why they did it, apparently, is to go and show greater allegiance to the king. And they're saying to the king, we don't look upon you as just having become king now, a few days ago, a few months ago. As far as we're concerned, you're ready into the second year. So they're trying to do it to show greater allegiance and greater covet for the king. Okay, no, that's what they want to do, that's what they want to do. So now the Chachamim then adopted that minhag for the get mekusher, that also they added an additional year. So your regular get poshet, if one soifer is writing a get poshet and a get mekusher on the same day, and King Louis, for instance, is the one that's the king, in the poshet you would write, this is the first year of King Louis, and the next star is get mekusher, you'd write, this is the second year of King Louis. Okay, no, it's a tie, so what, how does that bother me or you? Because now Rav Chanina ben Gamliel says, If by accident they sign the get makusher at the bottom instead of in the back, chamanetsa, what you can do is just open up all of the ksharim, and now it becomes a get poshut once again, and everything is fine. But so you have the
Adam.
Oh, you got the wrong day.
Kuchos, Mishubarim, Mamzerim, if it's a Gitinashim, all the good problems.
And guess what? The Gemara is going to say this in another moment.
Kusher, they added a year, so whenever there wouldn't be the problem of the Kuchos or the Mukdam.
As long as you left it as Makusha. But if you're converting the Makusha now to a regular, then you got your problem.
I'm writing the lines. This is a converted star. You have to, well, you know, you can subtract one. Because if you were.
I think that eight is fine, but what happens if somebody cuts off those few words at the bottom that says this was a converted star?
Well, they don't have ink.
Well, you can see the stitches.
You can see the stitches.
You cut out the place where the stitching were.
So the sofer had to know that when he was doing Makusha, he has to add a year. That was
Since I see all of you are all kind of agitated, irritated about all this, or at least you're very engrossed and intrigued, so let's look at the top Rishba. What's the difference? That's what you would expect. It's the first year. You're right, the first year. If it's the second year, then you're going right 2 years. Ava Makusha. Right, Rashbam, third line from the top.
Yes.
Where Kuf Samach Dalid Amid Beis. Kuf Samach Dalid Amid Beis. Continuing the third line. Am Makusher Em Molach Shana Koisin Mishtar Shtayim. You put in an extra one. Evet Shtayim Moin Loi Sholish Kloimar Magdimin Loi Shana. You mock them as if he was already king last year, which is not true. He's only king this year. Shari Miniga Uma Kedel Kamon. That was the meaning of Uma. Lahaktim lemelech shana. To add one more year. V'shem lekoved melech ha'yoisin. Rishbam is wondering, why could they do that? So apparently to go and show greater honor and allegiance. Oh, king, blah, blah, blah. Kloimer, kvar hechzik b'machus ishtei shana. Even though he only became king last week. Hey, shem king already for 2 years. V'chom topnu lichtim mekusher kim meaning of Uma. K'dei los is chilukim harbe. V'chom rois b'mekusher. So they did not adopt the Miniko Umma for the Pshuta that they left, you know, true. He became king this year, first year. But in the Mekusharim, to add these Chumrays, because it is Hadheru Kehanim, let's do the Miniko Umma, let's put in 2 years instead of 1 year. Okay.
What's the Chumra of writing a year? It doesn't delay anything.
No, the Chumra is that the Sofer has to keep on thinking and making the right conditions right.
It's 5 minutes.
It's fine, but what happens if he writes the wrong one, right? This year, after January 20th, it'll be the first year.
You make a mistake to start again.
Exactly. And then you have to start again. It's going to cost more. You have to write the whole text again, another piece of cloth. Then crying to say, I got to wait another hour. Oh, come on, how long can I wait? I want to get rid of my wife. Hi, 3 days later, after so many mistakes and so many ksharim and so many stitches and so many seamstresses, and then they wrote the wrong date. Forget about it. It's not worth all the aggravation. And he takes his wife back. Anyway, that's the svara behind it. So what happens over here? It is now a document, and in the document it says the later date because it's Get Mekusher. The Bchanina Ben Gamliel says, oh, you're noivis because the fact that you have Eidem Mitoichai, let's cut open the stitches, and now it's going to become a Get Poshut. And guess what? Continues in Gemara.
It's not so Poshut.
It's not so Poshut. It wasn't a Get Mekusher in terms of a Get Isha, it was a Get Choyv, a Shtar Choyv. And the Shtar Choyv was written that it says, Yechvais, in the second year of King Trump, and guess what? Umisram le zuzi beni beni uparale. Baruch Hashem, the loiv was able to scrape together some money, and he paid off the choiv and done. Now, what do you do when you pay off a choiv? You say, "Please give me back my shtar." Va'amale havli shteroi, give me my shtar back. Va'amale, and the malva says, "Irchus, I can't find it. You know, I looked up and down and back and forth. Can't shtref." Because of Leitavra, instead he gives him a shoiver, of course being a receipt. Now, v'chimot is money when it comes to the original maturity date of the shtar, v'shav le'poshet, he's going to go and take this mikusher and convert it to a poshet, v'omalei, and he's going to go and say, hani hashta diyosis minoi, that this is a brand new loan. because you see that your shoiver that you're producing that was already paid, that's from last year, that's already signed and sealed last year. But this get makusha, which now looks like a bashit, this is written for a later date, because he originally wrote it for a later date, because it was a get makusha originally. And now this later date is later than the date of the receipt that he gave him a month ago or a year ago.
Looks like another loan.
Looks like a brand new loan. And therefore, aren't we going to have problems? So Rebbe is now criticizing or challenging Rebbe Chanina ben Gamliel. Don't tell me you can go and cut open the stitches and it's all fine and good. It's not fine and good, because we can have now potential fraud, since you have to write the date a year later and he might pay it off early, and now the maturity date is, now it says a year later. In the meantime, he has a shoiver from an earlier date, and you see, that was a different loan. Obviously, it's not this shtar. It makes reference to a different shtar, blah, 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 etc., etc. So, Amalei, Hashem, and for the Gemara, says Rabbi Chanina ben Gamliel, Kosavar, Ein Koisin Shoiver. As far as I'm concerned, I don't believe in shoivrim and believe in receipts. You have to have the original document, and therefore, until he gives him the original document, he's not going to go and pay him baini baini. He's going to say, I'm only paying you if you give me the original piece of paper, and we're going to tear it up, or at least give it to me, I'm going to hold on to it. So that was the exchange between Rebbe and Rebbe Chanina ben Gamliel.
Now, he's going to say, I lost the shtar. So,
if you lost the shtar, too bad, then I'm not going to pay you. I'm not going to give you any money.
Yes.
Frank Dimar Umi Baki Rebbe the Makusha. Sounds like Rebbe really understands how Makusha works, and that this is 3 years and this is 2 years, and that you add an extra year because of the Minigo Umma. V'hu Makusha da'asa l'kami de Rebbe. Now the Gemara is quoting a Gemara that we had before. There was a Makusha that came from the Rebbe, and not this Gemara later. V'yom Rebbe shtar ma'ucher zeh. And Rebbe looks at the date and he says, hey, it says over here, third year to President Trump. He only became president last year. It's the second year. It's a shtar ma'ucher. Shtar ma'ucher, you can have all potential problems with shibutim and collecting from all types of guys, etc. The Omalei Zunin, Zunin's name of a Tana that lived at that time, he said, Zunin said to Rebbe, Kachman Hogashul Umazu, you didn't know? I guess the Rishbam, the Rebbe didn't have the Rishbam, and therefore he didn't know that this was the minig of the Ummah, and therefore what's their minog? Malach Shana, if the Melech is in his first year, you put him 2. If he's already 2 years, and so therefore, Rebbe didn't even know about this halacha. Zunim had to teach him. So how did Rebbe challenge Rebbe Chanina ben Gamliel? Rebbe Chanina ben Gamliel, you have a problem. In the doim is mani shazel, is mani shazel. This is 1 year, 2 years. Rebbe, you didn't even know this halacha. Says him, well, you're right. Pastor Desham Mizunin, Savra. Initially, Taka didn't know this halacha of Mekusha. Rabbeinu HaKadosh, Rabbi Yehuda Anasi, the one that wrote all the Mishnayos, he didn't know this halacha. But Zunin taught it to him. Now that Zunin taught it to him, from now on, now he knew it. And now when Rabbi Chanina ben Gamliel says, go and cut open the stitches, he said, Rabbi, I'm afraid you don't know the halacha that I learned from Zunin, that we're going to have a problem with the date, and what's going to happen, he's going to give him a shayver, and that's going to be prior to the date of the shtar, and therefore we're going to go and say, Rabbi Yisai, this is a separate loan, don't mix hoidi mitkish, and we're going to have problems, and that was the kashya. Yes, and Rabbi Chanina ben Gamliel says, I never take shayverim, I don't believe in shayverim, so you'll never have that problem. So now the Gemara tells us another similar situation. This shtar is written in the date of the Malchus of Pliny, King Louis, King Henry, whatever, Orchon. Exactly what does Orchon mean? So Rishbam tells us already now, and we'll see in the Gemara shortly, that the word Orchon means first year. Why does Orchon mean first year? So Rishbam says that the word Orchon really means Malchus, Melech, and the art scroll jumps from that and says that the word Orchon, Orach, that we have in the Gemara, is the derivative, or it's the same Shoidish as the English words, for instance, for monarch, or anarchy, that the ark at the end of monarch, or anarchy, that means another Malchus, another regime.
In ancient Greece, the rulers, I think in the city-states of Athens, were called the Archons. It's the same word. It's the same etymology of all these things, but they were called, the Greek rulers in Athens, I think, were called the Archons, if I'm not mistaken.
Very good, and that's why he says, Taka, although it says Archon, There's no pintle in the chav, but right. Put your pintle in, and then you can make an arkad.
Right.
Now, if you want to take a quick look at the Rishbam, Hahushtar Poshet, this is already a little bit past halfway down. The Havikosa Bebishnas Ploini Archan, or Arkan, a little bit halfway down. Says Rishbam, Lova Ploini, Mi Ploini, there was Alva, but the Havikosa Bebishnas. It didn't say 1 year, 2 years, 3 years. It didn't say that. But it did say the word Orchon or Orkan. Orkan ze melech. The word Orkan means melech. Ubishon rishoin accordingly Orkan. The meaning is, as we'll see, Kiddel Kamon, that in the first year he's called Orkan. What is he called in the second year? We'll see. Digun, Tatragun. We're going to get back to that in the Gemara shortly. Lafisha ata mesukenhu. Now, the reason why they use the word Orkan is to say that he is not just king. He's established as king. He's not going to be thrown out in another day or two that they're going to go and vote him out or something. He's an established king. Sorry, they're going to impeach him, exactly, or he's going to have to resign under whatever. The word Orach means it's an established, not established. It's not nice, the Pasuk in Ezra, to go and see when the Melech is not properly clothed. But the point is, the word Orech means that it's established and it's done properly and it's appropriate and blah, blah, blah. So now getting back to our Shtar over here. So it said, in the Shtar, Bishnas Ploini, Henry, Louis, Orkan, our king. Now exactly what is Orkan means? The established kingdom of King Henry, but I don't know which year that is. So the Gemara assumed that it was 1 year, Amar Pchanina, Yibodek Emesai Omad Orkin Archenusai. Let's find out when this monarch became the monarch, and we'll measure it. If this is the first year, if you look at the next Rishbam, Yibodek Emesai Omad Orkin Machusai, Ki Bishonu Rishonishol Machusai Nichtiv Shtar Zeh. Well, apparently, says Rishbam, this is a brand new shtar in his first year of Malchus. Hishata Tarvi Balichoivis Lekuchais, and therefore, based on that, the Balichoy will know that they go to Lekuchoy from that date on. Bishon Rishoina. So the word Orkan there effectively means the first year. Frank Timura, who says, V'dilma d'arech malchusei. Maybe it's like a bracha to the king and saying, oh, he should be ma'arech yomim. And maybe the word Orkan means that, in fact, it's already the third or the fifth or the tenth year. Baruch Hashem, he's had a riches yomim as king. Maybe that's the type. Omer Rav Oishia, kach min hagishol umezu. The meaning is, Shon Rishoin currently Orkan. And that's the way the scribes, the Sofrim write. First he's called Orkan. Shnia currently Digun. Vidil, period. So therefore, if it says the word Orkan, you know, means the first year, don't start thinking Arichas Yomim. Frey Timura, Vidilma Avuri Avruhu V'Odr Ukmu. Maybe it's a situation like we have now with our president, and that is that he was originally Melech, and then they were Maver him, and they said, Sayonara, we don't need you anymore. Then there was another king who was worse, and they said, ay, ay, ay. And now they go and bring back the original king a second time. And now when it says in the document that this is the first year of King Trump, I don't know if the first year means first 2025 or means the first term from 2018, whatever this was, 8 years ago, 2017, 18, whatever. So still, I don't know which one. So Orchon Digun Korule. When you have a situation like that, that the Melech is now reigning for the second time, when it wasn't consecutive, there was somebody in between, then they say it's the first year of the second Malchus, or the second year of the second Malchus. That's the Orchon, the first year, of Digun, of the second regime that he became king once again. So, there's an Eitzah for that. So now, what we've established so far is that these terms, Orchon and Digun, could have major halachic ramifications for purposes of shtarais. For purpose of a shtar, you could have a major nafkemina, whether it's orkan or digun. The Gemara is going to tell us that this distinction comes up in two other areas of Talmudic and religious law. These are Greek terms. I can understand, okay, shtarais, because they wrote the local melech, they wrote his year, but how could it come up? Oh, tarabban, hareni nozir. Sumchus Omar Hina Achas Dikun Shtaim Trigun Gimel Ta Trigun Arbat Pentagon is Chomesh. What does this mean? What happens if you have a person who's not speaking in Hebrew, or at least only partially in Hebrew? He says, Areni Nozer Hina. What does Hina mean? Hina is the Greek term for one. And therefore it means that I'm going to be a Nozer for 30 days. However, if he says, Areni Nozer Digun, then Stein. Then he becomes a Nozer for 60 days. If he says already Nozer Trigon, it's Gimel. It's 90 days. Tatat Rigon is Arba, 120 days. And Pentagon, that is Chomish, 150 days.
Pentagon.
Ah, yeah. Now why is Pentagon called the Pentagon in Washington? As most of us know. Because it's a five-sided building. Sides. Exactly. So, therefore, it has now not only Chashivas for purposes of Shtarais, but also the Hilchas Naziris. But we're not done yet, Abayisa. Tana Rabbanan. What happens if you have a bias ogle, you have a round house, or a digun that only has two walls to it? Trigun, it's like a triangle. That's perhaps similar to the word trigun. It has three walls to it. Or pentagon, we skip the tata trigun, which is four, and we go and jump to five. It's if you have a house which either has no walls at all because it's just round. Now, my father, Shechan Lebrach, were here, he would have said that the word igloo, which is what the Eskimos live in, which is round, may be related to the word base eagle. Eagle and igloo would seem to have the same etymology. Anyway, so you have the eagle, which is no walls, digon, which is the two walls, three walls, pentagon is five walls.
You know why they don't mention the four?
Why?
Because normally it's four.
Very good. That's the next line of Gemara.
Really?
So, Eina Metam Minigoyim. If you have a negatoras on one of the walls, but it's only two, three, five, guess what, or none, because it's a base eagle, guess what, it's not Metam Minigoyim. Tatat Regan, which is the four walls, that's Metam Minigoyim, because that's normal. Freddy Mono Animilia, how do I know the Torah Rabban? Lamalo Oimakir Kirois, Shtayim. Lamato Oimakir Kirois, Shtayim. Harikan Arba. What do you have, Kir Kirois? So we have the benefit of Torah Oresh Shalim, he brings the two psukim. First pasuk is Varoas Anega, Vinei Anega, Bekirois Habais. It could have said Varoas Anega, Bekir Habais. What did it say, Bekirois? What's the difference between Kir and Kirois? This is one, and this is two. Next pasuk. Bishava koin beyamashvi vine vero vine pasa nega bekirois abayis. It could have said bekir abayis. The doesn't says bekirois. So the first pasuk says kirois instead of kir. Second pasuk says kirois instead of kir because the Shemiz Baruch is telling us you add 2 plus 2 and you get 4. So if you find the tzaras on a 4-walled enclosure, yes, tamidigon. If it's anything more, anything less, forget about it.
So you build a Hollywood triangle or wall.
And then you don't have to worry about Tsaras, 100%. Or just don't tell say Lashon Hara or do other Avedis, and you don't have to worry about it either.
So
that's more difficult.
You should build with three, because that's a good triangle.
Good triangle. Good.
If in the Zoram, like in the Dharma, we go Kaleshon B'nei Adam.
Mm-hmm.
So if someone is using Greek terms, and that's their language, mm-hmm. it's like someone using English today.
Exactly. That's exactly right. So what you're doing is bring a good Raya, and that's 100% correct.
They could have used Beta.
Those are letters. You're analogizing Hebrew to Greek. That so letters represent numbers.
Yeah, I'm saying we're counting in Greek.
You would say Ina. No, you're citing the Greek alphabet. You're not counting.
It's like in English, you're saying A, B, C, D, E, while in numbers it's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5.
Right, you're conflating in Hebrew, Aleph, Beis.
So, I like that word.
Oh, I don't know. I think that's just
better than inflating.
Yeah. Those are mathematical terms that everybody uses.
They use the Greek letters in math, but it's not Greek, it's math. It's a different language. Math is a language of its own.
I mean, duo,
it's a universal language.
Yes, it's duo, but whatever.
Let's continue on. So you have the Kiris, and Kiris is four. Okay. Now the Gemara goes back to Hilchis Mekusha. We had this Gemara before, how Mekusha, the Oslo Kami, the Rebbe, you had to get Mekusha that came in front of the Rebbe. If you are a Rebbe, ain't Zman Bezeh. What's the date? I don't see any date at all. Neither first year, second year, third year to the king. Wait, it doesn't say any Zman. The son said to the father, Shema ben Kishar of Muvla, you know, maybe the person who did these stitchings and did the kfeilois and the folding over maybe did too good of a job and he covered over some of the text of the shtar. And let's open it up. Palia, that means that they opened up the stitches. V'chazia, and they saw it. Oh, Baruch Hashem, Taka, the date is there after all. Hodr Chozebei, Rebbe Bebishas. Rebbe, Shimon Bar Rebbe, the son of Rebbe, looked to his father and his father looked to him in a kind of denigrating way. You fool, you, when you're making a get mekusher, why don't you do it properly? Not that some of these words are obscured by the folds. it becomes like an undercover type of situation. And it's terrible. Oh, I'm a lay. Why are you blaming me? Look at Rabbi Chaita. Don't come to me. Presumably why he was called Chaita, because it was a chayat, he was a tailor, and he was able to go make the stitches. Now, if you're all smiling, that means you're all in stitches.
He should have stuck to his knitting.
This is one of those games, maybe, like
Taylor law.
Taylor law, very good. And that's tailored for this whole situation.
You don't see him everywhere.
Amalei. Rebbe was not happy by the way his son responded. Oh. And he said, Klech, or Kelech Miloshin, Kelech Miloshin Hara Hazeh, or Klech Miloshin Hara Hazeh. Go away from telling me Loshin Hara. What means Loshin Hara? So the Rishbam, says the Rishbam, that the son could have simply said the first half. Lavani Kasabt, I didn't write it, don't look at me, you know, I'm off the hook, I was in Besmedesh the whole day, what do I know? He didn't have to add the Rebbe Chaita. He felt that was Loshin Hara. Stay away from Loshin Hara. But now we're going to have a similar, but just the opposite story. Similar and opposite. Yeah. Zimnen, Zukti Mara, Zimnen have a Yosef Kamei. One time, Rebbe was saying to him, and his son, Reb Shimon, was sitting in front of him. The Kaposik Sidra Besef to him, he now finished a whole Seder. In Tillim, as you know, many of the Tillims are broken down into five Svarim, five Sidorim. That's why one person says, oh, then Seder 1, Seder 2, whatever. So he finished a whole Seder in the Sefer Tillim, and Omer Rebbe, psh, come Meyushik, look how beautifully, the Sefer HaTzidit, beautiful job, the Tillim so nicely, and the Tagin, and the lines, and it's beautiful. Again, Reb Shimon, at least Reb Shimon is an honest person. Amalev Lavanokasaf, it wasn't me. Don't look at me. I had nothing to do with it. Exactly. Amalev, and now unexpectedly, Rebbe said, Kalach Loshon Haraza. Stop this Loshon Hara.
Loshon Hara?
Frank Dillard Mishloy Mahasim, the first case, Ik Loshon Hara. He told him, and he's the one that did a lousy job. El Hachamai Loshon Hara Ika. He's saying how great, it's how beautiful.
Sometimes you're not allowed to say something nice about a person if somebody you know will then
Mishum d'Ravdimi. It's a course of Ravdimi. The Tani Ravdimi Achvad Rav Safra La'olam al yisaper odem b'tevasi shel chaveray shemitoch tevasi bali de'rasai. If you're going to extol someone else and say how great and how wonderful, eventually he's going to. The person will say, well. And can you tell me anything? Anything else about him? Now the obvious question is: that means you're never allowed to go and say something nice about somebody else. I mean, I say nice things about all my friends all the time. Am I being over this, yes, sir? So says the Rishbam. That's only if you overdo it. If you overdo it, tightness. You see, look, two lines from the bottom. Boli derosim itay gnusa from the. Saying shmach, it's going to be the day to say. If you're going to talk on and on and on and on, and he's great. And now, by the way, then maskein shem kenus shemai. So therefore, it's a little bit shver, says the Marsha, because after all, it's not as if Reb Shem Bar Rebbe took a whole hour explaining about the malice of Chaita, of Yehuda Chaita. All he said was he was the one that wrote it. But apparently, the Gemara gives us a break because we all want to finish the daf. And therefore, he did go on for another half an hour and said, and Rebbe, Tati, and you didn't see the Sefer Torah that he wrote. Which Sefer Torah? Let's take it out of the Aron Kodesh. Wow, what a Sefer Torah. And you didn't even see the Nachaf Torah that he wrote. Oh, really? So he kept on extolling him. And besides his writing skills, what a Bal Chesed. And what a Talmud Chochem. And what a nice guy. It's true that sometimes he does. Yeah, but Bederach Kalali is really great. Awesome. So that's what you got to be careful about. Anyway, getting back to our Gemara. And just concluding, Zokti Umarav, Omarav, Amram, Omarav, three lines to the bottom. Sholosh Averis in Odom Nitzel Mihen Bechol Yom. The three Averis that everybody, unfortunately, gets into trouble on a daily basis. Number one, here Avera, that you have bad thoughts. Usually Avera is a subtle reference to Arroyois. So once you try to avoid any bad thoughts. The Ion Tfilah. What's Ion Tfilah? Ion Tfilah, you're supposed to be Ma'ayin Betfilah. What's Ion Tfilah? So the machlokes between the Rishbam and the Tosis, the bottom Rishbam is that Ion Tefillah, that a person davens so from and so erlich, he is so confident that everything, whatever he asks for, is going to happen. And guess what happens? It doesn't happen. Then Chas V'Shalom, he might become less of a balamuna. I poured my heart out. I wasn't here for Shachar just 1 hour. I davened Shachar 3 hours and I cried my heart out. I know for sure I'm going to get a shidduch. I'm going to get parnasa. I'm going to get a four. And Chas V'Shalom, if it doesn't happen, So that's the last Rishbam. Even Tfilah, Yesh Mefarshim, Shal Acher Hispal, after he finished davening, Don Beliboy, he was now, he judged his own heart, She Shalom Lea Kodesh Baruch Hu Schar, Kodesh Baruch Hu, certainly, this Tfilah today, he listened to it, was the nicest Tfilah ever. V'yaz Kodesh Baruch Hu Tzrocha, V'yishma Tfil, Losei Lefish Hispal, V'kavon. That's the wrong thing to do, to have such confidence, because Chas V'Sholem, it could lead to a lack of bitachin. This pshat, however, is problematic because Rav Amram Amarav says, "Sholei Shaveris ain Adam Nitzel Mehen v'chol Yoyim Iyun Tfilah." What's the last time I had? It says every person, right? Sholei Shaveris ain Adam Nitzel Mehen. Everybody has this problem on a daily basis. Iyun Tfilah. When's the last time I thought to myself, "I daven"? Unfortunately, I don't daven the way I'm supposed to. I don't normally think, "Oh, I'm so confident." So therefore, the Banam Toisus says, "No, Iyun Tfilah means that he was not properly ma'ayin b'tfilah." But he davened the whole thing up, the whole davening in 3 minutes. Can you imagine? Look at the Rambam about the Toisus, about 8 lines from the bottom. The line begins with a vav in parentheses. V'nir the Rebbe, de'ion tefillah shehura, she'enem mechavnen tefillosim, they don't have kavana. Kiramrinim ve'elu dvorim she'adam oichel perisein. And then it says, iyun tefillah, we say the part of the davening every day. U'mizeh ein anunit b'chol yoyim, she'en shum adam yochel lecham betefillosim heitev. There's no person that can be Muhammad every single word. Unfortunately, we're only human, and therefore there will be a word here and a word there that we're not properly Muhammad. Yachmi Yerushalmi brings Yerushalmi the same thing. So anyway, so that's Ein Odom Nitzel B'chol Yom. Everybody, even the greatest tzaddik, the greatest rebbe, whatever, is going to be a word or two that he's going to miss out in being Muhammad properly. And finally, V'loshen Hara. Every day we all are we say Lashon Hara. Faith about Lashon Hara. Can you pardon? Everybody says every day Lashon Hara. Ella Avak Lashon Hara. What's meant Avak Lashon Hara? Says the top Rishvam. He going to Amri Nura Bei Planya Bei Erchen. Pesachas Erchen says, oh, there's a fire in the other guy's house. Why is there a fire over there?
They're always cooking.
Yeah, something, even though it's real, not Lashon Hara, but anything that kind of mocks or denigrates or doesn't put person on the high pedestal. Yeah. You know, Rav, Roiv begezel, most people gezel. Now, Rishbam says, Chas V'Sholem, not Roiv gezel, but rather, sometimes people are moira heter. See, on the second line, Rishbam, Roiv begezel, Roiv b'nei Adam chashud on the gezel, and gezel, shemoirin lehetere b'masa u'b'matan, la'akiv ish me'revacha, roi loy l'chavei roi. We don't mean that somebody goes and steals and breaks into somebody else's house and steals all the goods. Baruch Hashem, we're not choshed for that. But people that are engaged in any type of nischer, unfortunately, you know, you're always machmer for yourself, maker for the other. No, I deserve a greater profit. I did more work. I did it, etc., etc. So that's the type of gezel. Or miyad bar royis. Unfortunately, there's a miyad of people that get involved in a royis. V'ha'akol b'lashon har. B'lashon har is okadaitach. And again, avak lashon har. Not be a lashon har, but saying anything which could be, has a negativity to it. Have a wonderful day, everybody. Good job. Is and Zagi mentioned Zagi.